This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I don't believe I'm being political at all. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. And many members of the Congress over the years who have security clearances have spoken out rather forcefully against whoever was in the Oval Office if they weren't from the same political party. So now as a private citizen, they're telling me that I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry. I just fundamentally disagree with them.
John Brennan wants his clearance back, and take that, he says, to the press. How far will this go, and does he really have a leg to stand on? That continues, that story, to roll on as we do here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great start to your week, whatever it is you're doing. And as you know, or maybe you don't know, this show is really about what's happening in your backyard and mine. It is about the left of left, the right of right, the somewhere in between, the I don't want to label person, it's anybody. Because I think we're all in one collective boat together. And as Americans, we got to be concerned about all kinds of things that are happening and also be excited about some of what's happening in this country. So it is a snapshot. There's never enough time. Never enough time to go as deep as we could, right? So the former CIA director, John Brennan, is criticizing the Prez for revoking that security clearance. He says the Prez is drunk on power. Trump said last week he was stripping him because he's been an outspoken critic of the president. His security clearance is gone. He accused the CIA director, former one, of lying and giving increasingly frenzied commentary on television. So, you know, the bottom line is this. I don't know in having, or I do know in having talked to many lawyers, there's not much that Brennan can do. And it's interesting that 4 million plus people have security clearances. So what does that mean? How long is their clearance for? How can it be revoked? And the answer is there are plenty of ways that they can be revoked. And ultimately, who has the executive hammer? And that would be the press. Will Brennan really go to court with the president over the revoked security clearance? Does he really have any kind of a chance to win a suit? I'm going to say it'd be pretty tough to do that. He could take it to court, but I think he would have a hard time in making that fall in his favor. I don't think that falls in his favor because of the president's role. It doesn't make any sense. And really, if you read the Constitution, it does fall into that executive area. So I don't think he'd be successful in it. In other words, Paul Manafort, is he being successful or not? It's day three. They've gone through it in his trial. I think the longer it goes on, the more days they deliberate, the more struggles they're having trying to figure out whether they are going to throw him in jail or not. So he might not end up locked up. Maybe not. It's just leaning that way more and more. It doesn't mean we can't be surprised and something happens to surprise us in between. Sanctions and Russia. Oh boy. This is heavily being discussed. A top diplomat in the UK is calling for more sanctions on Russia. He's in the United States visiting. He thinks that's what has to be done. The British foreign minister is Jeremy Hunt. And he's made his first visit to the U.S. since taking office. He gives a speech on Tuesday, a speech that's going to call for the European Union to ensure its sanctions against Russia are comprehensive. and that the UK stands shoulder to shoulder with the US. I think he's going to be blunt. I think he is trying to do what he can to hold Russia's feet to the fire. And he says, we have to engage with Moscow, but we do have to be blunt. Russia's foreign policy under President Putin has made the world a more dangerous place. Amen to that. It is a more dangerous place. And think about it when you talk about freedom. Freedom of expression, whether you agree or not. Access to information. Makes sense to me. Then you don't worry as much about all that manipulating of the system. So it's interesting. Will there be more sanctions from the European Union? Tough to say. Russia's tricky for some. But I would say, how do you trust Russia? How do you trust Russia? And the answer is you cannot 100% say you do. The Pentagon, by the way, says don't slough off ISIS. It still is a regional and global threat. That's scary, huh? The Pentagon responded to a published Inspector General report which said the U.S. military estimates that ISIS still commands up to 30,000 fighters in Syria and Iraq. A Pentagon spokesperson says, I'll let the report stand on its own. Manpower is not a good metric to access the volatility of this terror group, ISIS. What's the concern? What really matters is the capability and the intent of ISIS members who are across the globe. And that's why there is still a fight. The report the Pentagon responded to was the Inspector General report, which said the U.S. military estimates that ISIS still commands up to 30,000 fighters in Syria and Iraq. Woo! I didn't think the number was quite that big. But apparently it is. By the way, coming up on America Tonight in this hour, a conversation with Michael Fitzpatrick. He's got such an interesting story, Michael Fitzpatrick, and he's written a book called Saving Peg Leg. Saving Peg Leg, and it's such a great story. In fact, he's going to roll the story out for you. How's that? And then Eric Buchanan shares his childhood disease that blossomed and only got worse for him as he got older. What is it and how many people are affected by it in the U.S.? A lot of people are affected by it in the U.S. So some incredibly useful information. And then for me, I went through the mailbag a bit today and scoured for some of the best stuff. You might have made it. Yeah. Pay attention next on America Tonight.
If you owe any money to the IRS, you need to call **1234. That's **1234. Uncle Sam has the power to make your life miserable. You could stop the IRS collections process right now by calling **1234. When you call the Tax Defense Center, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate your back taxes, including penalties and interest. **1234. **1234 could save you thousands on your back taxes. You could also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have entered into a payment plan and can't make the payments. It's your hard-earned money. Stop Uncle Sam right now. Make the call that could help you end the worry today. **1234. That's **1234. **1234. **1234.
Pro Pure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro One G2.0 all-in-one filter by Pro Pure removes and reduces up to 200 plus contaminants, including fluoride, lead, and more. There's no priming required, no add-on filter needed for fluoride reduction, and it's totally reusable. There's a size to fit most competitive brands of gravity water filter systems. Pro Pure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, visit an authorized Pro Pure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M of NutriMedical.com and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post, regardless of sunshine.
Or rain.
This is the mailbag.
Carriers delivered to home in person. Letters, packages, paper,
digging in the mailbag. Yeah, I love it. So let's jump into it. There's a bunch of people that had some interesting things to say, some sad things. So we're going to start with the sad. The Colorado man charged in the death of his wife and daughters. A lot of you sent me emails about that tragic story. One from Chris. Kate, I have such a heavy heart when I read this story. I don't know these people. But, you know, you hear so much negative news, you get kind of tuned out to it all. But then you hear about this woman who is pregnant and her husband allegedly killing her and the two daughters, and then dumping their bodies in tanks, in oil tanks. What kind of sick psychopath does that? Apparently he was fooling around, they were getting divorced, and I guess the rest is history. Can you imagine how the father of this woman and grandfather of these little girls felt? One of the things they said is that he told his wife he wanted to separate, then the killings happened. And they say he used a drone that spotted a bed sheet in a field near the oil tanks. So they say that's how they found this. Sheet matched the pattern of pillowcases in a top sheet recovered from a kitchen trash can from that house earlier in the day. And the woman's father was so emotional, thanking the cops and investigators and people for finding the bodies of his family members. He said the family appreciated the people who attended the candlelight vigil and expressed support. And just to keep the prayers coming for our family because, I mean, now they're dealing with this. Remember, the three were reported missing in a town 30 miles north of Denver. A couple days later, their bodies are found. Wow. Shallow grave for the wife near the oil tank. The two daughters inside oil tanks near the grave of their mom. Boy, oh boy. And their bodies, the girls' bodies, were in oil filled with crude oil. An oil well filled with crude oil for several days. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Unbelievable. Looks like they were strangled. Some other things happened. He killed them. You know, that's basically it. Allegedly. Allegedly. So, how that happens, boy, unreal. I mean, just absolutely crazy. All right, so I got another one about that. I'll just quickly say this. John says to me, Kate, did they have financial problems? We're talking about the Colorado couple. Didn't that lead to some of what happened? Yeah, I guess they owed, they had some financial problems. They filed for bankruptcy. They owed a homeowners association some money. But for, you know, killing the wife and the girls for that, no. Saying you want a divorce, man, it is a very tragic story. Especially you see the video of the little girls. Oh, that's like unwatchable to see that. I mean, and he seems so upset. Oh, I shouldn't say that. He seems so sort of just there in talking about his family missing. And he was just hours before he was arrested. He was pleading for his family's return, though. Mm. Glad they found the bodies. Glad they've arrested him. Horrible, horrible situation for that family. I mean, just absolutely awful. Let's move to another one. This one is from Sam. And Sam says, hello, Kate Delaney and the listeners of America Tonight. My question to you is, what happened with this alligator attack in South Carolina? Isn't that pretty rare? From what I know, it is pretty rare. How could that have happened to her? I'm assuming there's a dog involved. Yes, you assumed right, a little baby border collie. And she was trying to save the dog. So she was attacked and pulled underwater by the gator because of trying to save the dog. And the gator grabbed a hold of the dog's leash and then, of course, dragged the woman about 14 feet into the lagoon. And so the horrible thing is, too, the dog, I guess the good part is, but there is no good part about the story. The dog was not harmed. The 45-year-old woman died. Cassandra Klein, trying to save the dog. Very rare that that happens. But you don't, and you know, see, alligator attacks on humans are rare, but they're not unheard of. But this walking the dog thing happens. There was a 47-year-old woman who died in Davie, which is north of Miami, when, same thing, a 12-foot gator, that one was eight, 12-foot gator, 12-foot, 6-inch gator, was captured and destroyed, but same thing, pulled her into the water because going after the dog. And then, of course, we all know about the 2-year-old boy who died after an alligator pulled him into a lagoon near Walt Disney World. I mean, listen, peeps, you see gators, you see lagoons, you can't be there with dogs. It's, I mean, I get it. I can see just walking and thinking you're fine. But, and not wanting that to happen to the dog, oh my. And then ending up, you know, ending up dead. Sad. We move on to another one. This one is from Kathy, who says, hi, Kate. There's just so many things I would love to ask you. First of all, where can I get a copy of your book, Level the Playing Field? And second of all, who is your favorite NFL team? I guess I'll stop there. Copy of the book, it's for pre-order right now. So meaning you order it and then you get it. a couple of weeks later. It's Deal Your Own Destiny, and it's on KateDelaneySpeaker.com, KateDelaneySpeaker.com. That, my friends, is where you'll find it. Get shipped out to you. Get a free tip book along with that. Pretty good. And how about this? This one is from Chet, who says, Kate listens to the show all the time. Did you happen to see a couple of interesting stories that I immediately thought of you about? But how about the Miss America accusing leadership of bullying? There have been conversations in the background, but Miss America accused the pageant people of manipulation and bullying. Well, the leadership board, if that's the case, and she decided to speak out because she said it was ridiculous, the leadership board has to step aside if there is really truth to that, which is terrible, of course. However, it's a reality for some, right? It's a reality. All right, so I'm digging through the mailbag, and let's see. I'm going to go to this one from Walden, who says, Hi, America Tonight. Hi, listeners of the Kate Delaney Show. I am wondering if you understand why people are so dismissive of what's going on with the Catholic Church and priests. No, I don't understand that at all. I mean, look, a Dallas priest accused of molesting teens and taking $60,000 from his parish is gone missing even. And this is at St. Cecilia Catholic Church. The Reverend Edmundo Paredes served for 27 years. They think he went back to the Philippines. Wow. They know of his criminal sexual acts. They want to get a handle on him. Just terrible. Wow. Stay with us.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
With USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky. President Trump welcomes ICE agents to the White House. USA Radio's Tim Berg with the story.
At the White House, President Trump hosted CBP and ICE agents, recognizing them for their dangerous work and what they do to keep our borders safe. National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd on why President Trump is the man to fix our immigration system.
Most everything that he's done as far as immigration goes is effective. What he's doing is he's shining a spotlight on the problem problem. And until we solve that problem, we're going to continue to discuss this issue. Illegal immigration continues to rage. The amount of drugs across the border continues to flow across in almost unfettered. You know, in my 21-year career as a Border Patrol agent, I can tell you that we discuss this issue year in and year out, but we finally have a president that is actually trying to do something about it.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Very excited to welcome to the show. He's in our virtual green room right now, Michael Fitzpatrick, and he's written a cool book called Saving Peg Leg. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. Let's talk about saving peg leg. So first of all, I love asking this question to a lot of authors because a lot of times people say, oh, I have a book in me. Oh, I want to write a book. Oh, I have several books. And then sadly, they never get to it and there's stories that are lost. You got to it. Did you know that you had a book in you?
I did. I have many unpublished writings that I do. I'm a first grade teacher, so I write a lot of stories with the kids. But besides that, I've written different things written down over the years and just never really finished them or, you know, continued them, got the dots down. But this was a unique experience for me of how it came about. So,
so it was unique how it came about. So tell us how it came about. You can't tease us.
Well,
what happened?
Okay. Well, a neighbor of mine for many, many years was walking up the street, and I was putting some knickknacks in the front garden, some ducks and turtles and different things. My aunt loves the garden, so I bought them and I put them out there for her. And she said to me, the neighbor said to me, oh, I had a turtle when I was a kid. He had three legs, and I called him Peg Leg. And I said, really? Tell me more. So I interviewed her at her home, and the story is based on what she had told me and a lot of my imagination. And I wanted to make it into a picture book, but there was just so much that came out of me when I wrote and wrote and wrote. And 19,000 plus words later, I finished my masterpiece.
I love that you say I finished my masterpiece, because indeed I would agree with you. So tell us the tale of Peg Leg. Give us a little synopsis of Peg Leg.
All right, well, like I said, Peg Leg was based on, is based on the true accounts of a young girl's experience with a injured turtle she found in her yard. And she called Peg Leg, of course, because it had the three legs, found out it was injured, and took it to the vet, got some information about turtles. She was going to keep it as a pet, but one of the things that struck her was that this particular type of turtle, wood turtle, should be, as it's on the endangered species list, it should be kept out in its own environment, but she was very, very concerned about its injury and didn't know what to do. And through her family and friends and her love of animals and especially her faith, the story came about so that there's some fun things that happen, and then there's the sad thing that happens, and then at the end, it works out so that Jane makes her decision.
Yeah, I like that, and I like how you said it. At the end, it works out. She makes her decision. Don't tell us what the decision is, because then you've got people interested. They're on the edge of their seats about saving Peg Leg. And it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting about turtles. People have a real love for turtles. I would be one of those people.
Right.
I see what's happening with turtles in the world, and I see there's just amazing kinds of turtles. And you know, what kind of turtle is Peg Leg?
Peg Leg was a wood turtle, and wood turtles are on the endangered species list, but I also know a lot of people that do have turtles as pets. And in the book, it mentions about her concern about this turtle staying at her house or going back in the environment. But we've got to remember, she's 9 years old, and she's worried about his safety. And she doesn't know what to do because her mom says you got to train it back in the wild, and she's caught between basically a rock and a hard place in deciding for a 9-year-old girl. Her father thinks she should keep it. So one teacher friend of mine has a turtle for over 29 years now. She has a turtle. So many people have turtles, and I love that. I mean, I've had classroom pets. I've never had a turtle. I've had hermit crabs, but I would love to keep a turtle in there and bring in Peg Leg. I have a stuffed turtle for the kids to play with.
I love that, the stuffed turtle. So we're speaking with Michael Fitzpatrick, author, teacher, the name of the book is Saving Peg Leg. Have you read any of Peg Leg to the students or talked about Peg Leg at all?
Yes, it was published just before school ended last year, and I read the entire, I read it during snack time, each chapter, and the kids were at the seat wanting me to read more, and I read a chapter a day. It's broken into very small chapters, but it's good read for kids to read, to go back into it, and for anybody, really. A lot of my adult friends have read it as well, and the kids just come up with these pictures. They draw these things like every chapter, and they're writing me notes. Where's Peg Leg going to be next? It just makes the day.
Oh yeah, no kidding. If they're asking where Peg Leg's going to be, what do you hope people that are listening to this interview, what do you hope they take away from your story?
Well, this character Jane, based on a true person, in interviewing with her, I saw from her home that she is very caring towards animals, and she had a St. Francis statue right inside her door. So I thought at the time that she was on the religious side, religious in general, and she is, but she isn't. I found that out later. But what I want to take the readers to take away from it is that, you know, through a little girl's mind and thoughts and worries and concerns, it can happen to anyone, because you can find as an adult, an injured animal outside, and you want to do what's right for it. And some people may keep it, some people may bring it to the shelter, and this was just a good story as far as those four aspects of what Jane has is her family, her friends, love of animals, and her faith.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's definitely evident through the book. And you talked about Michael sitting down and writing it and pouring out the words, coming out 19,000 words later. Wow, you look up and, you know, there you go. Was it just kind of a labor of love when you wrapped up the book?
Yeah, well, see, many of the things that this neighbor had given me were true things that she told me. The only thing she couldn't tell me how the turtle actually got in her yard. So I took what she told me, where she lived, where she grew up, and I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and then I added things. She, when she read it, she absolutely was amazed by it. She was like, wow, this really turned out to be a really good book, is what she said to me. It was like, this is a nice story. And she could relate to several things I said that I didn't know about her, you know, that I didn't ask. And she goes, how'd you know that I wear that? I said, well, I just picked up on your character, so.
I love it. You picked up on it because you were observant and you were getting all the details, right?
Right, exactly, and that's how I based the other characters on in the story, is based on two people I know and what they're like, and the adults in the story and the children in the story are children from my actual school, and many of the kids that I've read it to, when am I going to be in your book? When am I going to be in the next book? So I have that to work on, so.
So that's next. You got to come up with another character. So you've thought right about that, then. You've thought about coming up with another book.
Yes, I did. I'm trying to see. I'd love feedback from people about what they think about the book, you know, positively. I admit, honestly, write your comments down so I can get better feel. I've introduced many other animals in the story in one of the chapters, and I'd like to break it up so that I write a book about each child with their character and how it relates to Peg Lake and how their pet relates to them, so, and how they got it. So that's my next goal.
I love it. So Saving Peg Leg, for people listening, Michael Fitzpatrick, the author. If people want a copy of it, Michael, where can they get it? Amazon?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I have a book trailer right now on YouTube. If you just type in Saving Peg Leg on the search engine, you will see it come up, very top one. It's in a green, it's green cover with the turtle, and it says Saving Peg Leg by Michael Fitzpatrick. And you can watch about a 2-minute and 35-second trailer about what the book is about without telling much. Just watch it, review it. And at the end, it tells you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also in my local bookstores here in Boston area. I'm hoping to get a shelf with some bookstores around with the book display. And
awesome.
Working on that.
Awesome. I love that. So Saving Peg Leg, for everybody listening, run, don't walk, get your copy. Michael Fitzpatrick, we can't wait to see what's next. Congratulations, and thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. That was really great. I'll send you a copy of it, okay?
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Wow, having just spoken to Bill Catlett, chairman, board of directors, National Foundation for Transplants, and hearing his passion and talking about people getting transplants in the U.S. and now what's happening, we are so pleased to be joined by Eric Buchanan, and he's a transplant patient. Eric, thanks for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's start with, tell us about your transplant experience. What organ did you receive and what happened that led you up to needing that organ?
So I received a double lung transplant in 2014. The need for it was because of my diagnosis of cystic fibrosis. And just like every cystic fibrosis person, they will eventually need a transplant because there's no cure for CF at the time.
And so how long were you sick, and then how long was the wait for an organ?
So I was diagnosed when I was 9 years old, but didn't really have any kind of complication or hospitalization until I think I was around 22 years old. And then even then it was tolerable. I was able to graduate from the University of Florida, and I worked for Publix for a while. And then in 2010, my lung collapsed. And I was forced to go into a disability and move in with my parents up in the Charlotte area. So from 2010 to basically 2014, I was sick, but I was just barely sick enough, barely not sick enough to get on the transplant list. But once I was on the list, you know, it still took about a year and a half. So.
And what was that like, that period of waiting? Because one of the things we were talking with Bill Catlett about, he's the chairman of the board of directors of the National Foundation for Transplants. It's at transplants.org, by the way. One of the things we were talking with him about is the fact that there are organs out there. There's just not enough people who have actually said before they passed that they would donate their organs. Really tell us, what was that year and a half wait like for you? Because what you were really waiting for was, among other things, yes, a match, but also just someone being willing to give up an organ they were no longer going to use.
Yes, it's a tough process. They do pretty well. Well, at least UNC in Chapel Hill, where I was transplanted, they do pretty well to prepare you letting you know that it's going to be tough. There's going to be ups and downs. You know, it's one point in my life I couldn't take a shower without oxygen, and I was on oxygen 24/7 for about 3 years, I would say. Mm. And then it was just, you sit there on the list and you hope and you hope and you hope. But then there's another side of you that thinks, you know, man, I'm waiting for somebody to actually die. You know, somebody's child that, you know, or adult even that just died. And I'm thinking of happiness and glory because it's a new life for me. But, It is weird kind of thinking about people dying in order to give you organs. And then the fact that, you know, that some people are organ donors, but their family at the time can overturn it. It's just one of those. I just hope they go to the right person that can respect and fully understand the present they were given, the gift they were given.
Yeah, and what a gift, Eric, when you think about that and you think about what we're talking about here with organ donation. Did you ever think you would get this lucky? I mean, there is luck involved in this and matching it and making it happen. Did you, at such a young age, to be dealing with what you dealt with, did you ever anticipate this?
I never anticipated not getting an organ. I figured I was at the age of 33 at the time, so I knew I had at least another year left, but that was still, you know, a long time to be on the transplant list. I didn't have any kind of weird antibodies to reject or to match up with the organ. And, you know, I was getting calls at first. I got three calls in 1 month and then another one later on down the road, and then finally I got my call, but they were coming in, so that was inspirational. But my mom also had a lung transplant, and she had hers at Duke, actually, at the age of, let's say, 55, yeah, so around the same time. But I was more scared for her because she had just a couple limited things that they had to match up, and, you know, it was not likely for her to get one, but it seemed like it was very likely for me to get one. So I never thought that I wouldn't get one. I was always positive about my experience, no matter what.
We're talking with Eric Buchanan. He's a double lung transplant patient. He had the double lung transplant in 2014. We just did an interview earlier with Bill Catlett. He's the chairman of the board of directors of the National Foundation for Transplants. By the way, you and your family can go to transplants.org and sign up to be organ donors. We encourage you to do that during the holiday season and tell your family and get them to do it too. You know, Eric is the living, walking, breathing embodiment of somebody making that incredible gift. Eric, when you, I don't know how this process works. You do. You went through it. But I can imagine there's this point where you know today's the day. This transplant is going to happen. And I want to hear from you. What was it like for you when you, following the surgery, what happened when you woke up?
Yeah, so I had a apartment close to Chapel Hill because, like I mentioned earlier, my parents lived in the Charlotte area. And so it was about 3 hours, maybe 2.5 hours to Charlotte from Chapel Hill. And I got an apartment because I was getting all kinds of calls I guess it was June. So July 4th weekend, I packed up and moved to the apartment so I could be closer. Excuse me. So it wasn't so devastating for me to hear a no and then have to travel, you know, 3 hours, 2.5 hours back. So, you know, we anticipated it eventually, but then we didn't get another call. I didn't get another call until November. So that was, I was like, oh, well, you know, I kind of jumped the gun. And then I guess I got a little scared at that point that it might not happen, but I never let it enter my brain, I don't think, because I was very positive about it. But when I did get the final call, I was actually back in Charlotte on Christmas Eve celebrating Christmas with my parents. So
oh my gosh.
At 7 in the morning on Christmas Eve 2014, I got a call from the lung transplant coordinator. And he says, Eric, we have an organ that looks really good, and we need you to come up and, you know, ASAP. And I said, okay, wow. Before that, they didn't, you know, they said, you know, pack your bags and blah, 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 and, you know, come on up here. And I'd wait in the ER for a while. But as soon as I got there, I just had this feeling because all my family was in town. And at that point, I just kind of felt like this was different. This was it, you know. So I'm driving up to UNC and thinking about it the whole time and thinking this is what's planned. This is going to happen. And then everybody was showing up kind of late after I got there. And they immediately got me up to the OR prep area and just signing waivers and, you know, and then at that point, you know, my mom and everybody got there, and I think they felt it too. So they took my oxygen off and had me walk into the OR, which I thought was a little unorthodox. And I had never gotten through the operating room doors. I was on the cusp of it always, but not in the OR. So I walked to the OR, and they started setting things up, and I was just, yeah, I knew that was it. You know, I knew that there was no way that they were going to get me that far and say, no, it's not looking good. But they could have, but they didn't. So everything worked out great. And as far as waking up right after transplant, you know, you're still groggy from the drugs and supposed to be in a lot of pain, but they keep that well monitored and under control. So I remember waking up, and they took out the trach right away. And I remember just feeling low on oxygen, just freaking out because I didn't have a nasal cannula for oxygen to come in. And that was like a childhood blanket to me. You know, it was very important that I had that all the time. But I could fully breathe. I just had to expand my lungs more because they had been, you know, kind of closed down for a while. So, but it was definitely surreal being able to walk with, you know, without oxygen. And there's actually, I have it recorded on a YouTube video, so of my first walk, and it was less than 24 hours of surgery.
That's incredible.
I still feel these, yes, ma'am, it was amazing. So I still feel these moments where if I climb to the top of a mountain and, you know, in Boone or somewhere and just, you know, or run, or I started playing ice hockey again. It's just in that moment is when, you know, you think, holy cow, this is happening. I haven't done this since, you know. And those are the moments that you realize the gift you have, I think. So.
Yeah. What a perfect place to end this. Eric Buchanan, thank you so much. Double lung recipient. Wow. Amazing story. Thank you. We appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, guys.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
This is Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.